Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. I'm going to do, am I doing word by word translation or? No, okay. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narayan is the transcendental personality of Godhead beyond the material creation. Everything that is created, sustained, and at the end annihilated is within the compass of the Mahatattva, or material principle, and is known as the material world. The existence of Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is not within the jurisdiction of this Mahatattva, and as such the name, form, attributes, etc. of Narayan are beyond the jurisdictions of material world. By the speculation of empiric philosophy, which discerns matter from spirit, or by cultivation of mystic powers, which ultimately helps the performer to reach any planet of the universe or beyond the universe, or by discharge of religious duties, one can achieve the highest perfection, provided one is able to reach the stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee who can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis, or karmis in terms of prescribed duties defined in the scriptures. There are many historical instances of the achievement of spiritual perfection, such as that of Sanakadi rishis or the nine celebrated yogendras, who attained perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. None of the devotees of the Lord ever deviated from the path of devotional service by taking to other methods as adopted by the jnanis or yogis. Everyone is anxious to achieve the highest perfection of his particular activity, and it is indicated herein that such perfection is Narayana Smriti, for which everyone must endeavor his best. In other words, life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step of life. So thus ends the translation, thus ended the purport of the verse number 6, chapter 1, canto 2, chapter entitled The First Step in God Realization. So in this verse, one of the lines that keeps repeating in many places in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante meaning the end, as if the end of life. And then Narayana Smriti, Narayana refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, and Smriti meaning remembrance. This Ante Narayana Smriti is one of the goals of everything we do right now and right here. Before I go and elaborate on that part, I would like to just touch up on the things mentioned by Srila Prabhupada about Sankhya and Yoga and Karma as the processes by which one can improve their consciousness. But of course, without adding Krishna to that, it's still lacking. However, very often sometimes we hear ourselves talking, oh yeah, the karma is this and that. But actually, according to the Vedic principles and Vedic science, karmis are actually very pious people. Karmis are the people who are following the scriptures and who are actually practicing some sort of religious principles by which they're uplifting their consciousness and not committing sinful activities. In the real terminology of the Vedic knowledge, karmi is a pious person who is following karma yoga, and hence it is a fruitive activity indeed, but is regulated. So when we say word karmi, that actually refers to a person who is following the Vedas. Next one is yoga. Srila Prabhupada mentioned yogis. There is Sankhya yoga and there is Jnana yoga. Jnana yogis are people who are trying to understand the supreme knowledge by figuring out what is spiritual and how spiritual things are. And basically they're speculating a lot based on different sources of knowledge. And the Sankhya yogis are somebody kind of in a modern life would be more like a scientist. They're trying to differentiate between spirit and matter. Sankhyas, they're counting the elements and they're trying to ascertain what is matter, what is spirit, and where is our place in all of that. Nevertheless, all these people are, although they're following certain principles, without actually focusing on Krishna as the Supreme Lord and finding out that eternal relationship, these things are helpful. However, unless Krishna is put in the equation, it's still not enough. I would just like to mention a few things because again, very often as a devotees, we focus on so many spiritual activities and kind of neglect the rest of it. And I just sort of stumbled upon something that is relevant to this verse, and it's from Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he is mentioning Sankhya and Karma. And I'm just going to read this. It's a very short. So it's a chapter 2 of the secondary rules and part 1 classification of secondary rules. It says, jnana and karma are secondary means and bhakti is the principal means. Jnana and karma help in the process of bhakti, and bhakti produces prema. In as much as karma and jnana can make the body, mind, and environment favorable for bhakti, they can be accepted as means. Otherwise, they are condemned in the scriptures as materialistic endeavors. And now he's elaborating how many rules are there, but there is something interesting. Those rules to keep person's body properly nourished so that they can remain healthy are the bodily rules. Such a things as regulated drinking, eating, sleeping, exercise, and for sickness prescription for cure are bodily rules. If people do not follow these rules, they cannot pass through life smoothly. If they do not follow the mental rules, their power of realization, concentration, imagination, contemplation, and judgment will be weak and will not properly function. There will be no advancement in arts and sciences, and moreover, one will not be able to take the mind from material thoughts and direct it to thoughts of God. As a result, sinful thoughts and atheistic attitude will dominate the mind. So these are just a few things I wanted to set up sort of a groundwork for what I'm about to speak. That although these processes are mentioned and sometimes devotees feel, okay, this is not it, they are integral part for most of us who are still on pretty much on the Kanishtha level and who are pretty much not on the pure level of devotional service. So what happens is, I was listening to yesterday's class by Antaranga Prabhu, and he sort of mentioned the things I was thinking to talk about as well. And that is, how do we practice and how do we prepare ourselves for this final test of remembering Krishna at the time of death? It's not something we can do whimsically or just hope, oh, Krishna will be merciful. I mean, he might not. But it is something that we need, that we, as a devotees, as a personalities, we need to work on it constantly. Sorry, I'm just get some water. So as we try to progress in devotional service, these things are like foundation, and it's a difficult to progress spiritually if the rest of it is neglected. One of the things is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned is our mental well-being, how we look after our mind, how we look after our body. At the end of the day, body and mind and everything belongs to Krishna, so it needs to be looked after. It needs to be seen as a whole package of how we serve and how we how we progress and how we use those facilities that Krishna has given us in his service. So in that respect, they're not to be neglected, right? That makes sense, right? And so many times we find ourselves thinking this process could be difficult and this process could be challenging and we can make mistakes and we can have ups and downs. But again, what is the end game? We need to remind ourselves the end game of everything we do, all the services we do, all the chanting we do, all the practices we perform, all the preaching we do, all the help we offer to others to come to Krishna, all the support, all the cleaning, all the cooking for the deities, all the beautiful services we do. The purpose of all of that is to integrate this Krishna consciousness genuinely, really into our hearts. And it becomes our, like our second nature. It becomes norm. It becomes natural thing with a natural flow that we do all these things with the consciousness of Krishna, with the things, with the thoughts. Yes, this is my offering. And to come to that platform is not easy. It's not something it's going to happen, right? I'm chanting for a few days and where is Krishna now? It's not, we all know that. We all know there is ups and downs. We all know there are bad days and good days, but we should never be discouraged because as long as we pull ourselves back and remind ourselves, Ante Narayana Smriti, remembrance of Krishna, and then how do I do it? So now when it comes to how, we all know the processes, we all know of 9 processes of devotional service, but then when we dig deeper is how do we apply this to in our lives? How do we repurpose our heart from being attracted to different things to transform our heart into pure heart that we can offer to Krishna with love? How do we do that? I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, we chant Hare Krishna, we do this, we do that. But it will be different for each person. Like what Prabhu mentioned yesterday was individually, we are all different. We all have different abilities. We have different talents. We have different aspirations. We have different desires. We are on different stages of this path of Krishna consciousness. Hence, our practice will be always slightly different. But what unites us all is the goal. The goal is to remember Krishna. The goal is to become better person, better devotee. The goal is to really transform our lives and transform our hearts and minds into state that we will see everyone as a spirit soul, that we will see everybody as a part, as Krishna's, right? I mean, the test of all of this is something we need to conduct for ourselves. The tendency is we judge others. We think, oh, this one is doing this one is doing that. But really what we should be doing is we should be internalizing our Krishna consciousness in order to differentiate the mind, the false ego from our true natural Krishna consciousness. And that takes practice. That takes it's a constant battle. As we all know, it's a battle from the very morning. Shall I get up or not? Shall I go for Mangalarati or not? Shall I absorb myself or am I going to be thinking of something else? So it's a constant uphill struggle to try to put all this knowledge we have, all this beautiful facility that Srila Prabhupada gave us to put into practice. And yes, by putting things into practice, what happens? When we do something different or new to us, we make mistakes or we fail or we do this. However, there is a good news. As long as we keep up with it, as long as we keep practicing, as long as we keep not losing the focus on the main goal, and that is to transform ourselves, to become a better version of ourselves, to become that devotee of Krishna, that Krishna would look at and say, wow, this person really loves me. This person cares about me. Then, you know, there is always a hope. So I'm saying this because in society of devotees, after being around for many years, I've seen lots of heartache, lots of negativity and things that devotees become disheartened because these processes are very, very deep and very, very profound. And it's not something that we can tackle in a day or two or even years. So thinking of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and this purport and what Srila Prabhupada gave us, we should be encouraged to think that, yes, we can do this. We can remember Krishna, but we do need to do some work. And that work is the constant practice. But then, of course, that comes to Krishna's mercy as well. So I'm going to tell a little story about, again, relating to the mercy of the Lord, and something else which is kind of interesting, that as we practice Krishna consciousness, we might think of ourselves, oh, I'm like this, I'm like that, but Krishna knows who we are. Krishna knows where we're at. Krishna, we can't fool Krishna if we're trying to up the game and think we are something we are not. But in the same time, if we think lower of ourselves than we are, and we feel disheartened, that's also not good, because Krishna loves us. Krishna wants us to come back. So there is a story about a brahmachari who came to Navadvip to see Lord Chaitanya. What happened? He was going to a house of a Shrivas Thakur, because every night there was kirtan, and there were devotees and Lord Chaitanya's associate would come and perform the kirtan. And it was sort of like a closed group, so only invited devotees would be allowed to come. But this person came, this brahmachari yogi came from the forest, and he was a proper yogi. He had a, like, you know, matted hair. He had a tree bark as a clothes, you know, covering his private parts and little bit of his body. Then he had kamandalu. He had a stick. He was only eating what he could find in the forest. So he was proper renunciate. But he heard about this Navadvip kirtan, and he wanted to see what's all about, because he was thinking, I'm practicing spiritual thing, and, you know, what are these people doing, just jumping up and down and chanting? You know, I think my practice is better. So he went in with a slight arrogance about himself. So when he came to the house of Shrivas Thakur and knocked on the door, and Shrivas Thakur opened, and he was like, yeah, you know, like, he greeted him nicely and offered respect. And he said, what can I do for you? And he was like, oh, I heard about this. I would like to come in. But Shrivas Thakur said, sorry, no. He looked at him, and he was thinking, he could see that this person doesn't love Krishna. He doesn't know who Lord Chaitanya is. And he thought, no, this person can't come. So he said to him, look, but he didn't want to be offensive. So he said, look, I can't let you in. However, if you don't mind, maybe just stay outside so you can maybe look through the window, and like that you can see what's going on, but you can't come in. So this yogi thought, okay, yeah, sounds good to me. So he stayed outside. At that time, kirtan was undergoing, Lord Chaitanya was chanting, they were all chanting in ecstasy, but at some point Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said, right, okay, something, I have to stop because something is not right. I can't feel the full ecstasy. Something or somebody is wrong here. Something is not right. I can sense that. I can feel it. Something is out of place. So naturally, Lord Chaitanya's associates who were present, out of their natural humility, everybody was thinking, oh, I must have done something wrong. My dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I must have done something wrong. I'm so sorry to disrupt your ecstasy. and I don't, you know, I'll leave. And every devotee was thinking like this. And when I was reading this passage, I thought, you know, sometimes what we experience is like, if that was me, I would be like, it wasn't me, it was him, you know, it was that one. You see, that one has got a little bit of funny eye there, you know, it must be him who was wrong, not me. I'm all right. So it's just like a difference in consciousness, how we naturally think. And here is the example of devotees who are naturally connected to Krishna and see the reality as it is. So then Shiva Thakur thought, okay, right, I think I know. And then he said to Lord Chaitanya, there is somebody outside actually, and I allowed them to look inside, and that might be the disruption. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, bring him in. Let's see who he is. So Shiva Thakur said, okay, you can come in now. So Lord Chaitanya looked at this brahmachari yogi and he goes, who are you? And the yogi goes, well, I'm a yogi. I'm a brahmachari. I'm a yogi. You know, I live in the forest. I eat fruits and roots and I'm very renounced. And, you know, look at me. I don't look after my body. I'm not attached to anything. And then Lord Chaitanya looked and he goes, but why do you come to the city then? And the yogi was like, well, and then Lord Chaitanya didn't let him even speak. He just goes, it's just for the show. You're just showing off. You're coming to the city so people can see that you're a yogi, that you can show off how you're renounced, how you're practicing. I mean, really, you should just stay in the forest and there is no need for you to come to the city. But you do because you want to show off. I mean, that brahmachari was totally like, oh my God. I was like, I mean, it was God. It is what he's God, but yeah, it was totally like gobsmacked. So Lord Chaitanya said, anyway, just go now. So he stayed outside. Lord Chaitanya carried with the kirtan. In the meantime, that brahmachari obviously meeting Lord Chaitanya, listening to the kirtan, seeing all the beautiful Vaishnavas, something happened in his heart as well, and he started thinking, actually, Mahaprabhu is right. I am just showing off. I don't really know the purpose of my yoga and meditation. I don't, you know, I'm just doing it because, yeah, it's a good thing to do because I become spiritual. But what is the spirituality? What is the goal of it? So as he was thinking like this and repenting and feeling, actually, yeah, I think I understand that this person here and this feelings I'm getting now, it's something that it's ultimate goal of life. The moment he started thinking like that, Lord Chaitanya again sort of stopped the kirtan and he said to Shiva Thakur, okay, now he can come in. Now he can join us. So I think from this wonderful pastime of the Lord, we can have few, so to say, takeaways. One is that Lord Chaitanya, although he's most merciful, most magnanimous, and most kind, he's not a fool. He cannot be fooled. He's not somebody we can trick into believing that he will believe that we are something we are not. And second, that again, by the mercy of the Lord, by association of devotees, by that yogi being in the vicinity of devotees and the kirtan and the Lord, his natural Krishna consciousness awake. He became awake spiritually, properly. And of course, by the darshan and Lord Chaitanya just talking to him, that must have done it for him, that mercy. So these things are important, the mercy of the Lord, as well as being authentic person in our Krishna consciousness. Like that yogi was authentic in the way that, yeah, I'm a yogi. Can't you not see? So he wasn't trying to pretend he was humble or anything. He was just as he was. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you're a fake. So, but then he accepted that. He accepted that from the Lord. He didn't go, how dare you speak like this to me, and walked away in the straw. But what he did, he reflected. While he was outside, he was reflecting on the words of the Lord. He was thinking, actually, when I think about it, he's right. Why do I come to the city? Why do I come here? So that's a second thing, takeaway, reflection. Very important thing to do in our Krishna consciousness. When things go pear-shaped, when something happened that sort of shakes us a bit, take some time out and reflect on it. Think about it. Don't act in anger. Don't act in some big emotional state. But instead, just take a deep breath, go for a walk, do something that you feel can help you calm your mind, calm your heart, and think about what happened. And I like what Prabhu said yesterday, that when we pray for changes, when we pray to become better devoted, to become free from different negative qualities, it's not going to happen just by magic. It's not going to happen, right? We wake up one morning and, wow, I'm not angry anymore. I'm never going to be judging anyone anymore. I'm never going to be thinking badly of anyone. I'm never going to be jealous of that devotee who does Sankirtan so well. It's not going to happen like that. But what happens, the Lord kindly provide us with the challenging situations where we, where puts our decision, where it puts our desire for change into test. So we are put in situations when our bad qualities can actually be stimulated. And this is exactly, and we just feel sometimes, but that little thing just triggered me so much. But then Krishna will watch what we do. And he will do it many times, as many times until we make a different choice. So we might, in the same situation, we might repeat our choices and blow up in anger and do stuff out of anger and false ego and revenge and this and that. But we're going to go through the same many, many times. I can't interact with the audience, but I would just say, did you all have that experience sometimes? Did you feel sometimes things keep repeating like a deja vu? Well, if that happens in your life, that means that we need to think about this situation and try to create a different response to that situation. It's repeating because we respond in the exact same way, which is, for some reason, it's not doing us good in spiritual life. So, but that's not some, nobody can tell us, oh, do this, do that. I mean, they can, but we normally don't listen. So it's something that we need to make a decision. Ante Narayana Smriti, do we want to remember Krishna? Do we really want to do it? That means we are volunteering to undergo the transformation of our hearts. This whole process, initiation, being in the temple, doing service, everything we do, we are choosing to do because we want to get purified and we want to undergo the heart transformation. So when things happen that challenge us, when things happen that bring out the worst in us, take it as a stepping stone. Take it as a mercy, because what's inside buried, it's being turned inside out for everybody to see, not because Krishna wants to embarrass us or makes us feel so bad about ourselves that we just want to leave and never be seen again. It's showing us because of love, to show us, look, there is this thing that you need to take care of. There is that thing that you need to take care of. It's helping us. It's a help. It's like when somebody who loves us, our gurus, when they teach us something, they point out, look, you're doing well, but this little thing could do with some improvement. So that's Krishna. That's the life situation. That's association of devotees, bit prickly, and we get through these things every day. That's our family members. Oh gosh, don't even start there. Those of you who live with the family members and have children and so, it's so challenging every single day, but every single day it's a new opportunity to make a different choice, to make a decision I'll choose Krishna. I will try and do better today than yesterday. And then process, we stick with the process. We chant Hare Krishna. We follow the principles. We try to have a good sadhana, strong sadhana. We read Bhagavatam. We study Bhagavatam. We discuss Bhagavatam with the devotees. We also reveal our hearts to devotees. We have a good friends. Very important thing to have a good friends to reveal your heart so you can actually get some support and help. So main thing from here, we need to drop the pretense because it's actually not doing us any good. If we are serious to progress in spiritual life, that's a sacrifice we may need to make. We need to drop being fake. We need to drop pretending. We need to stop trying to imitate different devotees because we think, oh, they're so good, I'll do what he does. It's not going to work because he's him, she's her, you are you. What works for them is not going to work for you necessarily. So it's again using intelligence. Krishna gave us intelligence. We need to use intelligence to understand who we are and how can we use our nature, our ability, our talents in Krishna's service. Why? Because by doing that, Ante Narayana Smriti, Narayana Smriti becomes natural because we are doing something that is natural to us. We are adding Krishna to our lives. We are not trying to change our whole being into somebody else. We are being who we are, but that means we are accepting all good, bad, and ugly as well and saying, okay, here I am. As I am, Krishna, take me. I've got millions of faults, and I personally definitely 1,000,000% have probably more than anybody else. I've made millions of mistakes, and I'm not talking to you here from some sort of pedestal thinking I'm senior or anything. No, I'm just like everybody else. I'm struggling in the spiritual life. I'm trying, and I will keep trying forever until I get there. And, you know, trying means making mistakes. And when we make mistakes, it's not end of the world. So don't, when we do make mistakes, reflect on them. Don't beat yourself up. Don't take it too seriously. So you kind of leave association of devotees or leave practices or stop practicing because something very bad happened. Instead, endure and just be determined to stick with the practice and understand I'm volunteering this. I want to transform. I want to become better. I want to be a devotee. I want to remember Krishna at the time of death. I want to be spiritual. So with this in mind, the perspective changes and things become easier. Okay. With these things in mind, we stop judging everybody because we are too busy trying to improve ourselves. We stop seeing, whoa, he does this, he does it. We become internalized and then we are thinking, what can I do to help my own spiritual life? And what can I do to help somebody else's spiritual life? It becomes what Prabhupada said, if I can find it here, because I wrote some notes. That's very good. When he says life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step of life. Progressively means increasingly, means positively. Krishna consciousness needs to be performed with the happiness, with the joy, with the taste. And how do we have the taste? Taste is the main drive. If we don't have the taste, everything becomes like a big dark box closing on into us, and we just feel, I can't do this anymore. So what happens? That taste happens when we internalize our Krishna consciousness, when we reflect, when we do practice, and when we start working, recognizing and working on things on ourselves that can help us in our Krishna consciousness. It's like rejecting unfavorable things and accepting favorable. So working on ourselves is a favorable thing. Why? Because it's that transformation of the heart. And I can't stress enough that it's absolute must. Like from this pastime with Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is not a fool. He sees us for who we are. Trust me. He sees us with everything. He sees the truth. He sees all our contaminations. It's like, it's kind of, we almost try to hide, you know, but sometimes Krishna reveals things and then we become exposed and we become embarrassed. But you know what? If that happens or if it happened, endure. Why? Because it's more important to stick with Krishna than what happens to this mind or body or our egos. What does it matter? It all blows over. So don't ever think Krishna hates me because he exposed me or something. Think contrary. Think Krishna likes me because he saw something that I've been neglecting and he brought it onto the surface. So why? So I can deal with it. And being that authentic person, being that devotee who is genuine, who is practicing from their own perspective, sometimes bring criticism as well, because in a society of devotees, we are different. We are in different situations. We live in the different places. We are in different ashrams. We have different jobs. We do different things. We have different talents. We have different set of skills. So it's totally natural that practice might be slightly different. And that's why it's so important not to judge, not to think because this devotee looks different or this devotee does something different or that they're not doing 24/7 puja. Well, they don't, because they've got to earn money for family. So that's part of the Krishna consciousness package. It's part of the Varna and Ashrama system. So what's important is stop judging. Why? Because why would we? Everyone belongs to Krishna anyway, and everyone's got their own path, and Krishna is looking after individuals in a very personal way. Why? Because Krishna is a person. Flash, news flash. Krishna is not something. Krishna is a person, and when he deals with us, he deals with us on a personal level. So what he gives us, he might not give to somebody else, or what he takes away from us, he might not take away from somebody else for the reason. Krishna knows why. So we need to have that little faith. And that's why externally looking, there is so many differences in devotional practices. And I'm talking about practices that are within the parameters of Krishna consciousness as given to Srila Prabhupada. But there might be slight variations. But that's fine. If it works, and for others, it's fine. Not everybody can be, you know, living in the temple, or not everybody can do this service, or... But let devotees encourage in their own way to express themselves and be Krishna conscious and connect with Krishna in the way they feel makes them more Krishna conscious. Does it make sense? So as individuals, we need to know ourselves. We need to know ourselves as we are. Not as we are trying to present ourselves to society, not as we're trying to present ourselves to devotee society, but the real us, who are we when we are at home? Not at the temple and the festival, but who are we when we are at home? So that's the real us. That's what we are. And then we start from that point. And that's the real point. And then Krishna will think, right, finally, let's work. Let's work together on this. So again, everything we do, always remember all the projects, all the services, all the temples, everything that Srila Prabhupada gave us so kindly is facility so we can help everybody become pure devotee of Krishna. So we can help that everybody can become that everybody can progress in their Krishna consciousness. It is for everybody. It's not just for me. It's not just for some, I don't know, big devotees. It's for every devotee, little devotee or non-devotee or anybody who is interested in Krishna. So we need to broaden up our consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was the pioneer. He was bringing me to the West. He was accepting everyone. He didn't judge anyone. He was giving everybody Krishna, knowing that the process and people's heart will resonate and they will accept Krishna due course of time. And by that tasting Krishna consciousness, the bad qualities or bad habits will slowly fade away. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada is pure devotee who understands how the process works. He knows that that's how it goes, because tasting Krishna is stronger than anything else. So we need to learn from that, that we need to be accepting and show more kindness and acceptance to everybody, and just try to give everybody Krishna in the way they will understand. And that's the best way of preaching. Actually, preaching is a wrong word as well. The real word is prachar. Prachar means teaching. So teaching means, you know, we all know what teaching means. It means explaining something to somebody and helping them understand and apply that knowledge in their lives. So that's the prachar. Preaching is more like forcing something onto somebody. So when we say preaching, we should think of prachar. We should think of teaching, supporting, facilitating, helping, rather than you Prabhu, just do this and you'll be fine. You know, we need to be a bit more like personal and understand how things work. So I don't know, do we have any questions, or shall I stop here?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful class. It actually built on some of the concepts and ideas that His Grace Antaranga Prabhu also mentioned yesterday.
Yep.
You mentioned quite a lot of aspects from your class in terms of how different yoga systems, Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga, etc., are there to improve our consciousness. But obviously, without Krishna within that is pointless, you mentioned. And you also then talked about, Shikshamitra from Sri Chaitanya, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in terms of jnana, karma, and the secondary aspects, as well as the bhakti as being the primary aspect, and how we should prepare ourselves, obviously, for that final test at the time of death. We do have a couple of questions, well, one question at least from the temple room. And this is, again, building up on what Antaranga Prabhu was telling us yesterday in terms of how we ought to mold our life, especially when we're starting on this special journey of Krishna consciousness, to some often or almost like, you know, we fake it till we make it, as it were, which is something that, you know, devotees do until they get to, you know, perfect their practice, and then they actually find themselves in that practice in order to understand what is it that actually makes them tick, what is it that actually gives them the rasa, that relationship with Krishna. And then in your class today, obviously, you're going to this next step further in saying, you know, let's not imitate, let's not try to copy others or see how, you know, we shouldn't really follow in others' footsteps. We should actually understand what is our own personal journey, and then offer that to Krishna. So the question obviously is, since both of these classes have come back to back, the question is that how do we actually then strike that balance between when you're first coming into Krishna consciousness, as you mentioned, Kanishtas earlier on, how can we actually then make it as an act of balancing the two, saying, okay, well, this is how this personality is doing something. Maybe I can try that. Maybe that will work for me. Maybe I will do something like that. And then on that journey, you're trying to find yourself also. So what is that balance? That's one of the questions.
I think that balance is something that we're all striving to achieve continuously. But I would say specifically, because you're asking for specifically for the devotees who join. And first thing is, for those who are already there, is to develop tolerance and to understand that those devotees are exploring and, like you said, they're finding their feet in Krishna consciousness, so to say. And it's a good thing to, depending on facility, that each new devotee tries different services and tries different aspects of Krishna consciousness and see where they feel most connected. I understand that sometimes constraint, if it's a temple, constraints of the temples are that certain services needs to be done. But I think sometimes it works out that all works perfectly well when different devotees are more inclined to different things, and they sort of fill up all these different gaps naturally by their own inclination. Somehow or other things work out. And I think striking the balance, it is a big challenge, but most important thing is patience and allowing oneself to make a mistake and allowing oneself to, to explore and to not be like, because like today I didn't achieve this. And, everybody tells me that, cooking for Krishna is fantastic, but I was cooking and I didn't really feel fantastic. Yeah. Like what's wrong with me? Right. Because that often happens with devotees, because we are told you're supposed to, and then we take it to heart. And if we don't, then we feel something is wrong with us. And that mental state is not very good for Krishna consciousness, because first of all, it's not necessarily the truth. Second, when devotees helping, they're giving advice and facilitating. They're not necessarily telling us what to do. So we shouldn't really tell somebody, oh, you should be doing this. You should say, wow, it would be nice for you to try this service perhaps and see how you're getting on. And then it brings it to a more personal level. I think the key is being personal and understanding individual needs. So those who are in charge of devotees, those who are leaders, those who are bhakta leaders or managers, it's essential to understand individuals and that some of like a basic needs of their devotee, to understand who they are, what their talents are, and what can we engage in Krishna consciousness from that. And in that way, we are helping them, but from external point of view. And internally, those devotees need to work for themselves and understand, I'm who I am, and I will try and sort of stick with the process. It will be trial and error. It's to be expected. So, and that means when somebody makes a mistake, don't crucify them. If somebody makes a mistake, don't make a big thing. It's not, like in the scale of universe, or even for Krishna. Krishna doesn't care if somebody spilled something or something, something got broken. Krishna cares about that person and what we're going to do when we see that. He wants to see how we act. He wants to see how we conduct ourselves. He wants to see, do we practice what we preach? So it's good for us if we talk big philosophy, but then on the ground level, in a real life, we can be very harsh. We can be very demanding. We can be very, something else. And then, okay, we can say, well, that's part of me. But that means seeing these things, and that's another issue now. Yes, it comes up, but if it continuously comes up, and if you continuously sort of don't understand the individuals, then it becomes a problem. That means, again, going back to individual ourselves and seeing, right, I shouldn't make others suffer, really. So maybe talk, maybe, it's a very broad question how to strike the balance, but I would say, again, young devotee, find a friend, find a well-wisher whom you trust, and talk to them about your issues or challenges, and then work through them together. And because we need help, so that's, I would say, each of us needs some sort of help to find that balance. I would say I think it's very hard to do it just on your own, like individually, because we get caught up with different things. I don't know if this really answers the question, but I hope it gives some clarity how to maybe do it.
Most definitely. It gives us the aspects of, as you mentioned, trying out different services to see what suits our nature, as well as then understanding our relationship with each of the devotees, in how we actually interact with each other without harshness. Because obviously, as you said, Krishna is all loving, and how he likes to continue that relationship with us. And ultimately, at the end of our life, and you know, we are able to then have that all golden remembrance of the Lord Narayan at the time of death. So thank you. We don't seem to have any more questions. Are there any closing words you'd like to take away from your class today, or
Just stay positive no matter what. Stick with the process no matter what. Love yourself and understand that Krishna loves us as we are, and try to help others. Of course, that's another main thing. As a Gosh Sanandis, share your experiences with others, facilitate and support other devotees, because by serving the devotees, judgment, envy, and other bad qualities, they get destroyed. So
thank you. I think Prayojana Prabhu has some comments, perhaps some questions.
I can see half of him, but yeah. Haribol.
thank you. I relate very much to what you say about the mistakes and repeating themselves, and certainly each time I've considered what's happened, it is the same. It's like you can't teach an old dog new tricks business for me. I struggle, but what the main realization I've had is that don't interfere with what you don't know what's happening. And I had this tendency of, you know, say Prakriti Kriyamanani, you know, thinking I'm the doer, that I can sort this out. And in fact, I've had to let go of anything that's to do with whatever I see. I don't know what's happening, and understand that actually divine providence is probably a very good thing to consider. Patanjali Muni, he gave me some nice advice. If things seem to be going wrong, whatever it is personally or otherwise, he said his advice was, okay, you can't change what's happened, but what you can do is there's something that needs either changing in myself or now to somehow get over the situation, that you put a constructive thing. If there is something that can be done, that you go from a positive aspect, and instead of saying, oh no, what to do, this is that, is to actually see, right, how do I go about, if there is some solution, ask somebody, or what to do. Certainly, that is for me, the repeating of the errors, but also allowing divine providence to take its thing without interfering, seeing what's happening, and it's nothing to do with me anymore, you know, in my old ways. So I really identify with what you've said, and I thank you for it. And but certainly, Mother Kalangadu would say, always take the humble position. That means us let Krishna act, isn't it? And thank you for that. You've helped me a lot there. Thank you with your class. It's like affirmation for me, you know. Thanks, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for sharing that, Prabhu. And yeah, again, I think it's a main thing, staying positive in all situations, understanding the depth of Krishna consciousness versus whatever happens to us. You know, there is a higher purpose. There is something we are connected with. And you know, just if we can't be positive, then surround yourself with the positive people. That might be another tip. If we are struggling with that, then hook up with the devotees who are like, yay, Haribo, you know, just find an association that, that can uplift you.
Thank you. And your association is doing that.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.